In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning.
Good morning.
In case you're confused as to why we're still dressed in white, I just want to let you know we have a baptism today. That's why we're all dressed in white, or close to white, white-ish. It's as white as our vestments get around here, which is probably safe with me because I would just get them dirty anyway. This morning, we're hearing from Paul to the church in Galatia. There are potentially multiple churches that he had planted there, all planted on the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen? This was the understanding. The problem was, and part of the reason he wrote this letter, is the churches were starting to revert back to that which they knew. Exactly. So they were used to being Jewish and following Jewish law. And in this time, they would still have been considered a part of the Jewish faith, but living out in this practice of the way, following Jesus. So as we still today as Christians understand that Jesus came to fulfill the law, they were struggling to understand how to do that. Maybe that happens for you too once in a while, how to walk in this way of Jesus. So they did what most of us do. We go back to what we know. We do what we know, especially when we don't know what to do. So Paul's been off, and he's, I believe, in jail when he wrote this letter, by the way. And he's writing a letter back to them saying, the laws are not what we're falling back on. We are staying focused on the gospel message that I brought to you, Jesus is Lord. And through Christ, we have been freed and reunited to God through his body and blood. That's what the church was founded on. But they weren't sure, so they went back to the law. They were adding elements of the law. Maybe some of the food laws, probably definitely circumcision and a couple of other things. And they're saying, no, you have to do this to be this. And Paul's saying to them, no. What you have to do is claim Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and walk in that way. And, of course, he uses baptism as the example of the way into the body of Christ. We still do that today. And we get to do it today, which is very exciting. But the concept being the law had its purpose. God put it in place for its purpose. Jesus fulfilled the law. He didn't eliminate it. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, we can now live in it. Because he simplified the law. Love your Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay. That incorporates all 10, right? Eliminates some of the other stuff that got added in, you know, some of the 600 and some other odd laws that came into play. But Paul's saying, don't fall back on that. Continue to put your faith in Christ. And he says it this way, now before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came so that we might be justified by faith. We are justified, made children of God through our faith in Jesus Christ, not by what we eat or don't eat. That's what he's saying. Not by whether or not the man is circumcised or not circumcised. And he'll go even a step further as he goes into his description. We are justified by faith in Jesus Christ, keeping in mind justified. We are being made children of God through Jesus Christ. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian, for in Christ Jesus you are all children of God through faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're all in agreement. And then he states this, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. We'll get back to that in a minute. But listen to what he says. Once people have entered into the body of Christ, clothed themselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. All are one. All. There is no hierarchy. When we clothe ourselves with Christ, when we put him on, is what he's saying. When you put him on, new creation, right? When you put him on and you enter into the body of Christ, we are all equal in his sight. Each person then becomes a member of the body. And each piece of the body, each member matters. And each member has a place. There is no hierarchy. Although sometimes the polity of our church makes us think there is. The practice, the structure of our church makes us think there's a hierarchy. We look at our structure and we say, well, we have our bishop, and we have our priests and our deacons. So we have our bishop, our priests, our deacons, and then us, the laity. Brothers and sisters, if that's how you understand the church, completely turn it upside down. What we have is the bishop who ministers to the priests and the deacons. He has some administrative things to do, which he's welcome to. And then we have the priest who is going to function primarily by caring for the flock that is given to him by God to care for. And then we have a deacon who assists with the priest and then leads the flock out into the world, the people into the world. Bishop ministers to clergy, clergy minister to lay people minister to the world. Amen?
Amen.
Which sounds like the higher calling to you? You bet. You got to get out there and share this with the world. So we do that by bringing people into the body, and the structure of the building itself tells us that's what we're doing. I know in some places the font moves. I don't know if that one does or not. I don't really care. I'm sure it does, but I'm never going to move it. The only reason somebody would move the font up to the front is for what reason? So people can see. Turn around. If you can't see, that's what I got to say, because it's there for a reason. If we were in maybe a different structure, the doors might be red. That represents the blood of the martyrs, the seed of the church. We enter through those red doors. We can just imagine them red. We don't want to paint the glass. And because it's by the blood of the martyrs, the seed of their blood that the church has planted and continues to grow, we are able to even enter into the building, into the body. The church is the body. And then the first thing we find is the font, the baptismal font. And once somebody is baptized, they move into the body, into the nave, the area where you're sitting now. That's the process. That's how we understand it. And it's physically visible in the building itself, isn't it? Some people will even come into the church and they'll dip their fingers in the font. You'll notice there's always water in there. And they'll remember this covenant they're under in our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, their own baptism. And if you do that, that's great. If you don't, it's okay. But that's what's happening when people do that. They're remembering that I have put on Christ. And as a result of putting on Christ, I am a member of the body. And as a member of the body, I am equal, co-equal with all other members, and God has called each and every one of us to some work within the body. Amen? But something sometimes happens, doesn't it? Yeah. Much like the church in Galatia, we do what we know. The whole world tells us there's a hierarchy. We go to work, we have a boss. We work for a while, maybe we have a boss, and then we're supervising other people. Everything has this sort of structure. You build and you grow. You go to school, and you're the youngest, and then you become the oldest. And then you go to middle school, and you become the youngest, and you work to be the oldest. And then you go to high school, and you become the youngest, and you work to be the oldest. Everything's built on this. You got to make your way to the top. And sometimes in the church, we assume that same structure exists. It doesn't. It absolutely doesn't. The full participation in the body of Christ comes when you are baptized into the body, when you put on Christ. But sometimes we forget. So what happens in a church that's, say, 60-some years old? Some people have been here 30, 40 years. And new people come, and they wait. I think God's called me to be here. And they wait. And we sometimes forget, as the church, what it's like to be the new person in the room. Anybody ever walked into a place for the first time and felt like you were the only person who's never been there before? Everybody else has been there before, right? And you're the odd man out. Everybody knows you don't belong, right? That's really not true. But this is what happens. We fall back to what we know. And then we do this to the body of Christ, which is, us, by the way. And so the people who've been here 30, 40 years, I said 30 earlier, somebody told me you better add 40. Maybe even more. Some a lifetime, no doubt. Yeah. Those folks have taken a place in the body. Hopefully, after 40 years, they better have taken a place in the body. And the new people come, and the new people are going, I think I'm supposed to be here. And they're waiting for somebody to say, come with us and do this. Right? And if nobody asks, what do? They, I must not be in the right place. So they go look for another place. I didn't fit in. I couldn't connect. And the other problem is the other folks been working 30, 40 years. They see somebody new come in the door and they go, oh, excellent. There's somebody new here. And then they wait. And they look at the new people and they go, why don't they do anything? So we got people wondering, how come nobody new does anything? And the new people going, how come nobody asks me what to do? Brothers and sisters, because we forget. You're passing through the baptismal water and putting on Christ is what gives you permission to join the body. The church doesn't give you permission. Jesus Christ gives you permission. With his very body and blood, you have permission. Take ownership in your place. He has called you. You're here for a reason. You may not even know why. The body can help you. But if we just sit and wait for somebody to turn to us and say, could you do this? When we know it's what we're supposed to be doing anyway, and that person is sitting over here waiting for you to say, I want to do this, then nothing happens. Except we end up with two different groups in the church. The group that's connected and the group that stands on the outside going, I wonder when it's my turn. Guess what? It's today. It was the day you were baptized, by the way. It was your turn. God called you for a reason. He called you for a purpose, and he put you in a particular place. Amen. Amen. And you're here now. So if you're wondering what you're supposed to be doing, don't ask the church. Ask God. He's the one who called you. Let's build our relationship with Jesus Christ, and by default, we will be the church. If you build your relationship with the church and the church alone, that's going to be a short-lived relationship. That's not going to be eternity, is it? No, because somebody's going to do something that's going to upset you. They're just going to. All in favor of knowing this? Aye. It's going to happen. So, great. Build a relationship with Jesus Christ, and remember that we're one body. One body. So recently I picked up a sport that I used to play a lot, that I've been playing for over 20 years, but you would never notice if you saw me play. You think I just started. It's a form of golf, but it's with frisbee. It's an old hippie thing. Kind of. It's becoming more mainstream, I just want to let you know. So as a result, this motion. You know what just happened when I did that? My shoulder said, don't do that. So I said, now I sit on my couch and, you know, I got my spot. We all, men do. Got my couch, got my remote, got my coaster. It's where I put my cup. And I'm like having to move the coaster around so I can reach out and pick up the cup because I keep reaching out and going, ow, I can't pick it up. I have to get a plastic one because I can't lift the glass one because my shoulder says, don't do that. So what happens in your body happens in the body. Sometimes a part of your body hurts or is wounded. And we've all done it. Maybe even you've hurt a foot or something, and in compensating for it, you hurt your back. And your doctors say, don't do that. You're going to have to learn to walk on it again. You're going to have to get it fixed. Otherwise, it's going to tear up everything. Oh, so we have to focus on the part that's wounded and get it better. So sometimes the body, us, sometimes we're doing great. We know exactly what to do and how to do it, and then somebody's hurt. And they're wounded, and they, by default of being wounded, might cause pain for the body around them. Now, being a dad and a grandpa, you know, little one comes up, oh, my finger hurts. I said, well, let me cut it off. Yeah, that's what dads and grandpas do, right? I'll just cut it off. It'll be fine. If it's bothering you, I'll take it off. And they, no, you can't do that. I need it. Oh, okay. Well, what can we do to make it better? Brothers and sisters, when a part of the body is wounded, and maybe they're not even sure of it, what they need is to be nurtured, loved, and cared for, not cut off. Not cut off. Some people will show up wounded. Nothing gives me greater joy. They're clothed in Christ, but sometimes under stress and pain and sorrow, we just go back to what we know. Just like the church has always done. Just like it was doing in Galatia. Well, we're not sure if you belong. You're not circumcised. Paul is telling the church then, and he's telling the church now. You are clothed in Christ through baptism, and therefore justified in your faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? He calls us to come together as one body, to move as one body, to do his work, his will, with him as the head. Amen? Amen. And today we will add another to the fold. Today we get to have a baptism. I'm hoping our other children are going to be able to come join us for that. How much longer do I have to preach? Because I can do this all day, but you already knew that. But we will bring Elijah into the fold. He will be clothed in Christ today. He's even dressed in white, too. See, we used to go to more extremes, didn't we? Some of us who've been around a while, everybody would have been dressed in white. You know, clothed in white, washed in the blood of the Lamb, brought into the body. Today we get to do that. Bring another one into the body of Christ. Not because of anything we have done, but by recognizing that which God has done already in his life. Now, I know sometimes this isn't a popular thing to do. People will say to me, I want my child to make their own decision. And to that I say, just like they decided what school they were going to go to, what type of clothes they were going to wear, what house they live in, what they had for dinner, what sports team you put them on, are those the decisions you're talking about they make on their own? Brothers and sisters, we will make every worldly decision for our children, day in, day out, and then we'll look at the concept of putting a child into the body of Christ and go, I want them to make their own decision. Now, I'm just going to be very blunt with you. When we're standing there facing that and we have somebody in the body going, well, I'm waiting for my child to make their own decision, we should run to that person and say, let us help you with yours. Because when someone is clear on their decision to be clothed in Christ, they have no problem making that decision for their child. Amen? Amen. These folks have made that decision today. And we're going to hold them accountable because that's what our liturgy does. I like that part too. Here's the next thing, especially for some of you who've been here 40 years or more, you've probably seen a lot of people baptized here, a lot of people confirmed here, and at some point in that liturgy, either one of them, and we'll do it again today, the question will be asked, will you help, will you be part of, and the whole congregation is going to say what? We will. Will you? Will you? Don't let them go. Our brother joins us today. Never let him go. His parents are committed to raising him up in the body. Never let him go. Grandparents, family, committed. Never let him go. When he goes wandering off at some point in his life, like some of us have, never let him go. He might be hurting. He might be broken. He might be wounded. Don't cut him off. And if somebody in your mind right now that you've seen baptized or confirmed here into this portion of the body of Christ seems to be missing, go get them. Don't cut them off.